Welcome to Lost River Legends. Our motto, Ex Tenebris, is Latin for out of the shadows. We attempt to understand the complex world around us and bring light to subjects hidden in darkness. We explore paranormal topics with guests from all around the world. Now welcome your Lost River Legends hosts, James and Brett. We hope you enjoy the show.
People, welcome to Lost River Legends. This is a little bit of a different episode than what we're used to. We're actually on site. James and I are out camping right now, and we're camping for a few days, just hanging out, taking in the goodness of nature and what the earth has to offer. And I'll let James tell you about kind of where we're at and why we're out here and what we've been doing, and then we're going to talk more paranormal here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, so we usually try to do a camp out once a year at least, where we're just saying goodbye to the kids and the wife and just ditching and getting out and doing something. Sometimes it's mountain biking. This time we Brett's got some kayaks, and we threw those on the back of his pop-up trailer. And our end destination was supposed to be Redfish Lake. And if you've ever seen any...
And that's in Idaho.
In Idaho.
In the U.S., for those that are listening. We forget sometimes that we have audience all over the world. But yeah, Redfish Lake in Idaho. So go look it up.
Yeah, yeah. So when you look it up, you'll see that it looks a lot like a... You know, the probably some of the best shots of an Idaho calendar. Yeah. You know, that's Little Redfish, and Redfish Lake is in the Sawtooths, and it's pretty remote. It's hard to get at, but it's kind of the Disneyland of outdoors in Idaho.
And yeah, we drove around. You know, we have a pop-up trailer and a pickup truck, and so we have all our gear, and we're actually recording right now. Fortunate enough to have a little bit of a mobile studio. We're actually recording right now in the pop-up, so you might hear campfires crackling, you might hear cars driving by the campsite, and but yeah, this is, look it up on Google and find Redfish Lake, and you'll be amazed at some of the scenic wonders that we are partaking of, and it's pretty awesome here.
Yeah, so for our first night, last night we kind of wanted to scoot halfway after a work day, get halfway to our destination, and we decided to actually stay right next to the Lost River. That's actually kind of the next range over. So there's the Lost River, Big Lost River, and that's at Mackay Reservoir. And then what sits above that is Lost River Peak and the Lost River Range. So... the namesake of our show.
Exactly.
A little bit corny, but you know, there's kind of a reason we picked that name. A lot of it had to do with it being in our backyard. It kind of rolls off the tongue. We obviously had very much a Bigfoot emphasis when we first started the show, and that's actually something we want to get back into. We've been talking about, like, how do we bring this subject back up? We ended up yesterday taking a trail up by a creek, and once we got to where we couldn't drive anymore, we got out and walked, and we walked until we couldn't, you know, we hiked in until we couldn't hike in anymore. It was getting washed out, and big cliff walls along this creek.
A lot of scrub oak and thorns and briars and all that stuff. It was a pretty sketchy hike, and we were both watching each other six, because it was getting dark, and it was actually, it was a really dangerous trail. Like James said, there's some parts where the trail had been washed away, and so we had to kind of jump and circumnavigate. But yeah, so the namesake of the show, Lost River Legends, You know, James came up with that name, and I think it's very fitting for what we're doing, because the Lost River here in Idaho, it actually just stops and it just goes away and it ends up coming back, doesn't it? Farther down the road. But
yeah, it kind of, because of all the lava tubes, it just kind of starts, you know, in the mountains, trickles out towards the desert, and then heads into, I think it goes into an underground lava tube that kind of transports it.
It's like a somewhere else.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where it pops up, if it does.
Yeah. So we live in a, you know, we were talking on the way up yesterday, is just driving and looking at all the scenery and taking in Redfish Lake and some of the beauty there. And if you guys follow us on Instagram, or if you don't, visit Lost River Legends on Instagram. We'll post some pictures, or on Facebook. I think we can post some pictures there of our travels. And it's a really fun thing. And you know, obviously, it's not paranormal, but the namesake of the show and kind of what we're doing right now. I mean, we're best buds, and we're doing this trip together, and you know, we're just having a lot of fun. And we normally don't do these shows where we just kind of talk and we just kind of let our hair down. We always have these guests on, and it's very structured, and we have, you know, a topic and ideas and questions that we want answers to. And every now and again, you know, maybe we'll do this more. We'll see how it works out. But we'll do these mobile recordings where if we're out camping or if we're just get a wild hair, we'll just kind of throw out a random episode. And again, we have this little recording studio, and hopefully the quality is good enough for you guys, and everything's working. But yeah, we're excited to be here. It's fun to record out in the, you know, there's a fire ring right outside that we're hoping to probably get a fire going here in a little bit after we record and then head to bed. But it's pretty fun.
Yeah, we're super lucky in that we've been friends for a lifetime, and we're always on par with each other. We don't really get after each other too much, so right. It's good that way. I mean, there's a lot about us sharing about us. You know, we're private people, but also, you know, I think if our audience wants to get to know us a little bit better, it's good to let them know what our personalities are, you know. And a lot of these shows, you know, that are out there, there's a lot of personalities, right? Like a lot of people that we listen to,
mm-hmm.
and that we kind of look up to, and that can be a driving force, you know. It's at no point have I wanted to be, you know, front and center on some of this stuff. So but yeah, that hike last night, when we reached the end point, there was like just a perfectly flat rock. It looked like a table. I mean, you could have probably laid out a mat on there and laid down, because it was big enough and flat enough. But it was an interesting thought. We, you know, going in there, we just kind of, you see some animal sign. We saw some moose tracks, some deer tracks, something else, you know.
Yeah, James saw something
cat-like or
run across the trail, and, you know, again, in the Idaho wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, you know, we have weapons on us, and we're very careful, and we've grown up in the outdoors. We're both scouts, and we've had a lot of experience, and so we got to be careful. And so, yeah, this rock at the end of the thing, kind of crazy. It's just, you know, the trail just ended, and then there's this huge rock that's the size, I don't know, size of a small table or something, and it's just jutting out and kind of sticking out over the water, and the creek keeps going down, and then obviously the trail ends, and then James had an idea.
Well, I mean, going in there, we thought we had a possible mountain lion territory, kind of what we were looking at. There's a lot of dens and caves, and it was pretty ideal that we were being hunted. You know, it's possible, you know, that kind of territory. So, you know, yeah, head on a swivel, kind of just, but it had this, like, there hadn't been a lot of people visiting that like we got to a point where we're like, yeah, it looks like maybe no someone came here. Through here, but there, I mean, you get in there and it's like, no one's been here in a really long time. And just kind of its own feel. But you know, we tried to just kind of stay positive. When we got to that table, I was like, we talked about this in some of our other episodes. If you listen to the one with Josh Cutchin, we talked about intention, and that's kind of come up a couple times. And we were like, well, you know, we're not coming in here to mess with anyone or anything. We only have our sidearms here for protection for ourselves. We're not in here
to harm or
rallying up or, you know, causing any issue. But the intention, you know, when I saw that rock, I was like, hey, what if this is kind of goofy? This is something we've never done, but what if we put a little offering here and see, you know, if this is something, you know, what do they call it? I'm not
gifting.
Even
gifting.
It's, you know, a little gifting out here. So Brett put together, tell them what you put together.
Yeah. So we just looked around us and, you know, it was a little weird doing it, 'cause we're just not, that's just not who we are and what we do. But we said, hey, again, we're here kind of, you know, I wouldn't say that our little hike back there was like squatching, right? Going after a Bigfoot necessarily, we're just exploring, but we always are talking about, you know, the things that we investigate on the show. Just the weird paranormal stuff. If you want to throw Bigfoot in that, then fine. But I guess the intention that we were talking about was specific to Bigfoot or Sasquatch. And so we made a little, I don't know if you want to call it a totem, but we threw together a little stick figure Bigfoot, and had a rock head and pine needle hair on its head. And so we left. The sun was going down. You know, we needed to get back to camp and get ready for bed. And so we left the site there, went back to camp, and then we said, hey, maybe tomorrow morning we can go back to that place and see if anything's been messed with that little totem, right? And didn't have time. It was important for us to get to a campsite, and we spent a lot of time this morning and this afternoon trying to find a location for us, because again, Redfish Lake in Idaho right now, it's kind of Disneyland. Everyone's out with their camping and four-wheelers and trailers, and it's a hot market right now. And so it was important for us to find a site. So hopefully on the way home, we'll venture off and see if anything has been messed with, whether it's an animal or another human doing it, or, you know, well, whatever.
And part of what we did, you know, I had like a pry lever for my bike repair kit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I just put that in there because, you know, just something interesting that's never been seen before, to something, you know, something
shiny.
Someone is curious. But, you know, the chances of that trail being frequented
by another human.
I mean, the drive up there, you got to undo 4 or 5 cattle gates. That's kind of a pain. And then once you get up there, it's like, well, it doesn't really go anywhere. So the fact that it dead ends, it's kind of like it's a road to nowhere. It's a hike to nowhere.
Yeah.
I think our chances of someone human going back there is pretty dang low.
Yep, exactly.
So it'd be interesting to see.
And I don't know, maybe we'll throw that. We took a picture, you know.
Yeah.
More for here's the position of the sticks. Here's exactly how we left this little thing. And if anything's messed with, then we can go back and compare it with the picture that we took. And see if anything's been messed with. But again, goes back to intention. You know, we weren't going in there to blast something and to be all violent. We were just trying to be investigative and kind of have our heads on our shoulders. And we'll see what happens.
For sure. And that's, you know, again, We weren't going to leave food and get something habituated or get, you know, that's its own thing, and that could lead to some pretty violent encounters, and that's not something we're looking to get involved with.
Yeah.
But, you know, Redfish Lake, we know that there's a BFR report in there from, let's see, I think it was from 2009, So not too long ago, I mean, you're still talking a little over 10 years ago, but,
And for those that don't know, maybe outside of the States, BFRO is Bigfoot Field
Research
Organization.
Yep.
So this is an encapsulation. It's a place that you report a sighting or an encounter, and then you give as much information and detail, location, time, just all the information that you have about that encounter, and you put it in there, and then it's archived, and you have access to it to the public so you can research. But yeah, Redfish Lake, James probably has some information on the actual report, but there's a lodge on the lake, and we actually, kind of a funny thing is, we just bought these kayaks, my family, and there's a Parks and Rec here in the States that requires you to have a invasive species sticker on any water craft, whether it's a boat or a jet ski or a kayak. And the sheriff was there, and we didn't have the stickers, so he required us to go across the lake on our kayaks without the stickers and get on the Wi-Fi at the lodge and purchase these stickers. And if he was able to pull us over on the lake to do an investigation or do an inspection on our craft, then we could show him the receipt on our phones. Long story short, we went over there, and the lodge is across the lake, and it's just tucked away, and you can get, that's where a lot of the boat docks are. There's a little restaurant, and it's just kind of the life of the lake. There's a lot of people there. And I think James has some information here that he might have pulled up or no.
Yeah, well, a little bit. So in BFRR report number 13717, so you can look it up for yourself. There is a possible vocalizations heard by staff at Redfish Lake Lodge. So this is, you know, we were right there, within the proximity of this situation. And I'm just going to go off a memory here that, you know, it was getting dark and someone heard some interesting grunts, and they're like, what is that? And then they thought they saw a figure kind of up higher. There's elevation all around this lake, you know, kind of the mountains go kind of straight into the lake. And, you know, based on the time of day, you might be able to see a figure moving, mm-hmm. some locomotion, but, I can't remember what really came of it. As far as, you know, them being really frightened and enough to, you know, there's more than one person, and then they reported it. And with BFRO, it's kind of like MUFON, where there's an investigator, a field investigator that is assigned to that region, and then they come and they investigate and they ask the questions, kind of a standard set of questions. So it's a lot like MUFON.
Kind of almost vetting out that individual, yeah, in that, yeah, case, the situation.
So that took place, and they had some responses and some follow-up to that. Just pretty fascinating. You know, we're surrounded by just the wilds. Like, it's, yeah, it's pretty deep.
Well, and once we really got to Redfish Lake proper, the area, the density of pine trees, like, goes up tenfold. Like, you look up the mountain and there's hardly any bare patches unless you get really high to the Sawtooth, like, range, right, where it overlooks the lake, and it's just magnificent and gorgeous. But there's a lot of just trees. It's just super packed, super dense. And so definitely a lot of wildlife up here. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, that case is really interesting. I remember we talked about that a year or two ago, first time we brought it up, and some interesting stuff. But yeah, we're right here, and the place we're camping is away from Redfish Lake by maybe 20 minutes. And you know, there's a highway right behind us, and there's campsites, and there's a is it the Salmon River? yes, kind of right behind us right now. And so Bald Eagle was screaming out here, and it's pretty awesome. But yeah, some interesting stuff as far as Bigfoot goes. You know, there's a lot of cases of Bigfoot and UFO sightings here in the state, or here in Idaho. And I saw an article, might have been a year ago, where Idaho was one of the higher states as far as UFO reports goes, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I don't know what the correlation is there with why that was the highest, or maybe it was just a fluke year.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the standard is of, you know, what they're using to measure that, or if it's just, maybe it's a per capita thing. We have kind of a low population. It's interesting too. You know, a lot of sightings happen where there's people, but that overlaps kind of has to be there. Now we know from listening to Sasquatch Chronicles and some of the others, you know, a lot of these people that have had some really interesting encounters are hunters that get into our wilds,
man. Right.
We're kind of on the border of the wilderness of no return, the Frank Church wilderness. There's a river of no return in the Frank Church wilderness. So it's actually very difficult to access the central part of this.
It's the state.
Yeah. So yeah, that part of the state is just kind of, there's no road through really that cuts through. Everything goes around it. It's the biggest wildlife, kind of untouched wildlife, like, area outside of Alaska.
Contiguous, so I think that's the word.
Yeah.
Contiguous United States. You know, it's the largest wilderness area in the 48 states. I mean, outside of Alaska. And again, for those listeners that like Sasquatch and Bigfoot stories, you're probably already familiar that, you know, Wes with Sasquatch Chronicles, he's had quite a few people on his show where hunters will venture into this wilderness area, the Frank Church Wilderness area, which is, again, in the center of the state and kind of the heart of the state. And it's literal wilderness. There's no power. There's no internet. There's no nothing. It's just bare bones wilderness. And so they've had some really odd encounters, some violent, some not violent, but nonetheless, these are some interesting encounters.
Yeah. And you know, there's a vast amount of hunters and anglers in our state. Whether it's people that live here, I mean, it's kind of the norm to have people here that are hunters that go out for a deer or a elk or a turkey or, that's really normal. And it's quite prime. Like really when it comes to that, we have a lot of ungulates here to take out.
Love that word, ungulates.
Yeah. But, you know, it's an entire industry though, between the trophy trout and salmon fishing. And, you know, I don't think an out-of-stater can get a moose, but you know, last year I was hunting with my son. It was my first time. I go out trying to chase down deer and I run into 4 or 5 moose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, wish I had that tag. You know, you have to do, it's a once in a lifetime
here in Idaho
draw, yeah. But man, these bull moose were just ginormous. Would have filled a whole wall with their rack, you know?
Yeah. Crazy enough, I went out with my brother just outside of the city, just up on the bench where we live. There's a bench with dry farms and just some rolling hills before you get to the forests. And just 5 miles outside of the town, there's this big bull moose stands up. And, you know, when you see something that big, you know, and you're not in a car, and you're just standing face to face with it, it's pretty impressive. But yeah, Idaho, I mean, we live here. We've been here. I've grown up here my whole life, and I've lived here pretty much my whole life. But, you know, maybe we're biased, but it's one of the best states, I think, that I've There's just so much about it that's so awesome. You know, just the wilderness and the hunting and the fishing and the outdoor activities. And we have a relatively small population. There's a lot of people right now that are moving from out of state, which stresses us out a little bit because we want to hang on to our gem. You know, Idaho's the gem state, and it's a gem to me. You kind of want to keep that secret to us. But hopefully the people that are moving here appreciate it just as much as we do and want to take care of it as much as we do. So,
yeah, we were commenting on that a little bit earlier today. I was talking about, like, well, you know, I'd rather have someone come here that cares, you know, for the environment or for taking care of things. Cause, you know, I go out fishing or hiking and I'm like, man, people just leaving garbage, just
trash
everywhere. Yeah. And it's a pet peeve of mine. I think it's important to be good stewards of the land. It's like, you know, if everyone did that,
yeah,
it would ruin it big time, you know. And
or if everyone were good stewards, just look at the improvement we'd have on our environment.
The inverse of that, right?
Exactly.
Yep. So, yeah. So some of those things, those principles to teach our kids and pass on, I think both you and I do that. And
exactly.
Point that out.
Yeah. So we're here camping. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be gone. We planned for 3 days.
Yeah.
Or 3 nights, 4 days.
Yeah, something like that.
And missing our families, but it's good to be out and get away from work and some of those responsibilities, I guess.
Yeah.
And just step away. You know, I miss my family a lot right now, but it's also fun to get out and kind of get a reset and enjoy those times, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't miss mine at all. I'm not trying to be mean. No, I don't even think about it. I'm just kind of in my
own. Just in the moment, yeah.
Yeah, very in the moment. Well, I kind of wanted to bring up some of the things that we listen to a lot of other shows, and there's times that something really strikes a chord and really either is a connection point or something that really lights you up. You know, lately I've been listening to a couple of recordings of.
So before you do that,
UFO Congress and some other things.
Yeah. So before you do that, let's maybe lay out some of the podcasts that we listen to. I mean, we're creators,
right?
And we're obviously going to share in the creation process by consuming as much of the content as we can. So I'll list mine off, and there might be overlap between the two of us, and then we'll get back to your comment. So Sasquatch Chronicles with Wes Germer, Expanded Perspectives, Paranormal Mysteries with Nick Ryan. Yeah, it's a fairly new podcast, but he does a great job. Tony Merkel, The Confessionals, we're good supporters of him, and Hammer Lane Legends. That's a trucker, over the road trucker one, but it does get kind of paranormal at times. I'm trying to think here. I think those are probably the jams. My jam right now are those ones. And I do listen to, although I don't love listening to our podcast, for the fact that I don't like necessarily listening to myself, just because it's kind of weird. But I also, Richard Serrett, the Conspiracy Unlimited, he's been in one of my top favorites for a long time. It's a great listen. James.
Yeah. So
you're on. He's got his phone on. And
he said all the ones I had. but yeah, in addition to that, I've picked up a few. There's one called... So Monsters Among Us, it's super popular.
Yeah, that's
good.
You
gotta listen to Derek. Derek Hayes.
Does a great job.
Listening to Monsters Among Us with Derek Hayes.
Yes.
He's a good guy.
Very emphasis.
We don't know him personally, but he's a good guy.
A lot of emphasis there. Oh, sorry. Not trying to tickle you. There's Strange Familiars with...
Yes, I do listen to that one too.
Timothy Renner. I picked up a newer one called Blurry Creatures. I don't know if I posted something. They followed me on Instagram, or they came across my feed, and I was like, oh, cool. And, you know, fellow paranormal Bigfooter
yeah
guys. And they have a decent show. They've had some really good guests. So Ground Zero Media is Clyde Lewis. He does like 15-minute kind of intro.
Yeah, he does good stuff.
He'll give the free intro or monologues, you know, to his show. But if you can get a hold of his full blown show, it's something else. I think out in Portland, he's on AM, so you can pick him up there. But yeah, he's got a vast knowledge to reach into. I think what else here? The Conspiracy Show is another Richard Syrett
mm-hmm.
show. A little bit different format. I think it's recorded live. But big fan of all those ones.
You know, and to put a plug, I know we both listen to him, and we both have a high regard and a very strong respect for this man, David Pilates. And he doesn't have a podcast, and I've actually commented on his YouTube channel because he has a really big YouTube channel that he just started maybe a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And he's already got millions of views and a lot of engagement in the comments. But for those that don't know, David Pilates, the Missing 411 series, I mean, he's had these Missing 411 books out for several years now. And he puts out, I'd say, what, 2 videos a week on average on YouTube about different missing persons cases here in the United States or in North America. And just an awesome, awesome topic and a very, very good guy. And I listen to most of his YouTube channel posts or videos that come out and just try to support him. I have his books and be a great guest. We've been itching to have him on, but he doesn't do interviews very much anymore, and but maybe one of these days we'll get lucky and he'll respond to the thousands of emails that he gets, and he'll grant us our wish.
Certainly, yeah, and not to drag on too much, but you know, there's some YouTube channels that we really like. There's I think it goes by UAMN TV,
mm-hmm.
and it's largely attributed to, you know, abduction phenomenon and UFOs. And then some coast to coast is always awesome.
AM.
If you can get a coast to coast snippet. I want to say, I don't know if they have rights to it, if they're connected to it. Some of the Gaia stuff comes through in the feed, you know, and it's, there's some interesting things
some
in
overlap.
There. Trying to think who else really.
It's late and we've had a long day, and so brain's not firing.
We have no stinking,
and we have no internet
data signal. You know, we're just going off of our poor memories, but hopefully you can forgive us there. So something that's been on my radar that's really just, I don't know, tickled my fancy. This is there was the congressional UFO report that's coming up, but you know, ahead of that. Nick Ryan has been putting out stuff on his Paranormal Mysteries podcast.
Like the UFO Congress or whatever they call it.
Yeah, so there was the Press Club event way mm-hmm. back in
2003.
Well, there's like the 90s, 1990s one.
With Stephen Greer.
Stephen Greer and those witnesses that, you know, saying that they'd, you know, give their testimony. They'd give their testimony and then they say, I'm prepared to testify to Congress that this is the case, you know, and it's
exactly.
Case after case just lined up. And then there's a second one that was, I think, either UFO Congress or a contact in the desert. And on the panel of people was Linda Moulton Howe.
Nick Pope was on one of those.
Stanton Friedman. I can see his face and hear his voice, but can't think of his name. And then there was David Adair, which is, he's actually who I kind of want to talk about a little bit, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
So David Adair, such an interesting individual, even if you just were like, oh yeah, you know, like paranormal this or that, or UFO stuff, this or that. actually as an inventor or as an individual,
a scientist,
contributed to NASA and to
space program, the rockets.
Rockets, stuff. Rocketry. Just super fascinating kind of his story. If you can get and find some of the older, there's older footage of him. There's older recordings where he kind of gives his life story of how he is brought up. He grew up around the Neil Armstrong family.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up around Richard Petty, the race car driver, and that's kind of how he had access to a shop with tools, with machines for machining and inventing stuff, basically.
Weird overlap there.
You know, it's just kind of where he got his start. But there's some nuggets in what he says, because one of his engines that he actually designed when he was 12 years old and was able to kind of execute on it by the time he was 16 years old was a fusion containment engine. And he's like, if you could have the power of the sun and put it in a bottle, what's going to happen? You know, if you can kind of poke a hole in it and let it go, what's going to happen? And that story is super fascinating. You know, he took a trip down to Area 51 to test it and kind of what happened there. I won't give too much spoilers, but this idea of containing the power of the sun or the temperature or reaction of the sun with an electromagnetic field, because this thing is 115 million degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that can contain that on the planet.
Yeah, we don't have. There's
no material.
Right.
Right. Except for an electromagnetic containment field. So that's kind of interesting. But now we've seen in the news, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen that China has been obtaining these interesting fusion reactions, one of them reaching 125 million degrees Celsius.
For and, what, like 100 seconds?
Yeah,
it was or something, it was minute and a half?
Under 5 minutes, but I mean, I think about like that Spider-Man episode or movie where Doc Ock has got that artificial sun and he's using his his crawler hands or whatever to kind of control it. That's how he articulates it. And then, of course, obviously it starts sucking things into its gravitational pull.
But yeah, David Adair, look him up on YouTube. He's got some fascinating accounts of when he was younger, when he was going through all these inventions and the rocketry and the technology, and he's involved with a lot of different people. But I think he can speak to a lot of the UFO technology, you know, that we're seeing right now, here, at least in the US, that, you know, there's all these disclosures that are supposed to be happening. And, anyway,
well, today was the day that they were supposed. Today, the Pentagon was supposed to
June 25th, 2021.
That's the day they were supposed to present their information, their report to.
Yeah, that's when we're recording. It won't be posted today, but yeah, the June 25th, 2021. So look it up. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not a. I think James knows this, and those close to me that know this, that I'm not a big fan of disclosure, just because I don't think the government's ever going to come out and say, here is everything that we know about this, you know, UFOs or the supposed alien technology and weapons, and this is how UFOs fly and this is how they can come in and out of our atmosphere. And I don't think the government's ever going to just spill. Everything's going to be heavily redacted. Everything's going to be parsed out and sanitized before we get it. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
No, time will tell.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that. I mean, you got some quadrillion dollars in black projects that have existed and subsisted, and corporations within corporations, and
yeah, I think
I don't see that being.
Yeah, I think the citizens. I mean, again, speaking of the United States, just because that's where we're at, but just speaking of the United States, the citizens of this country, they're the ones in charge, right? I mean. So, they're supposed to be in charge.
Allegedly.
And I think the citizen movement here in this country has been enough to prove the existence of UFOs. Not saying they're alien necessarily, you know, off world necessarily. I'm not, but that UFOs exist, that they're all over the place, that we're seeing them over nuclear sites, and we're seeing them in and out of the water. Yeah, so I think we've done enough as citizens to prove that they exist, and we, you know, I'm not waiting in the wings for the government to just finally put their final stamp of approval on what we've, you know. But again, we've had some really good images. The images that we get from the government, you know, the flying tic tac. I mean, we have multi-billion, multi-trillion dollar budgets with advanced technology and imaging systems and cameras, and they hand us a really blurry photo of a tic tac, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, and so, I mean, I think that that's kind of silly that we have that to go off of. And, you know, if we saw a high resolution HD image of whatever they captured on video, it would be obviously more telling, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Not getting my hopes up. I think it's awesome that it's in kind of the mainstream conversation. You know, people that normally wouldn't be talking about it are talking about it and thinking about it. As far as it being, you know, as far as it being something earth-shattering, I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we had Obama like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, come out and be like, yeah, like we got briefed on this and we don't know what they are. It's kind of interesting, just
the timing.
The timing, and you don't hear anything from this guy for couple years, really. I mean, he's been kind of quiet, and then just to hear him have something to say about that subject.
The thing that he has to say is about UFOs after all this time. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that I don't want to jump into politics anything.
Nope.
Boring.
We try to stay out of that on this show, and hopefully that's a good thing for you guys that are listening.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, JFK on things have been a lot different from probably what they were intended, right? So, is there a show or a story from a show that kind of stands out to you? You do a lot. I feel like you do a lot more podcast consumption than I do. We kind of leapfrog each other and have to catch each other up on different
stuff. We share a lot of stuff back and forth, and then we try to talk about it.
Some nuggets.
You know, nothing's really jumping out to me right now. I mean, James knows this, and my family, my kids, my wife know this, that I'm pretty grounded in Bigfoot stuff most of the time, and it's just something I'm always interested in. It's something that has always, well, I shouldn't say always, but at least probably for the last 8 to 10 years has really interested me, and I've consumed a lot of content and thought about it a lot, and just one of those things that it's just this mystery to me. And I don't really ascribe to any particular notion about what these things are, why they're here and anything like that. But, you know, I don't really have any theories necessarily of myself. But I really like to support other creators and these content guys that put stuff out. And so, but nothing really jumps out to me right now that's screaming at me necessarily.
You know, another show that we failed to mention is Bigfoot Terror in the Woods with Bill Sheehan. He and his brother Kevin get together, and they have a good old time getting on there and talking about some news and information, kind of updating us on some strange sightings or events. And then they, you know, share some Bigfoot Tear in the Woods stories. And I think they're on there for a good hour. They've got a mailbag of people writing them. They've got some great followers. We're pretty good friends with Bill. He's been really sweet and really nice.
I was just telling James, Bill just called me out of the blue a few weeks ago and I was just talking, and the guy's just busy. He's writing books all the time. He's podcasting, and then he works his regular job, and he's just, guy never stops. He never sleeps, it seems. And, you know, he first came out with all the books, The Bigfoot Terror in the Woods. And for those that are interested in those cool stories, and they're really fun, season one, we had him on two or three times sharing a bunch of stories. And this is really how we're getting content out and
kind of cut our teeth on that.
Our teeth. But something that's interesting is James here helped Bill kind of start out with his own podcast and kind of showed him the ropes and some of the information on how to get podcasting. And now, you know, they've surpassed 1 million views, 1 million listens on their own podcast, which is really good. But he's coming out with more books. I think volume 9 of Bigfoot Terror in the Woods, I think, is going to be coming out really soon. And then he has, trying to think, he's writing another book right now that he told me about, and I probably shouldn't share what it was, but
no, but yeah, I think he's got one that's come out recently that's about being successful from the point of view of a Christian.
Oh yeah, with money, yeah, being successful with money,
how to make use of the talents that God has given you. So really interesting. He's really excited about that. Last time I talked to him,
yeah, he's a good guy. So yeah, and his episodes, his podcasts are really good. Him and his brother, Kevin, have a really good time talking, and it's a very casual format, and it's got some structure to it. You know, it's kind of, they got a format going, but it's they have a really fun time on the show. So yeah, give that a listen. And his books are awesome. James and I have consumed a lot of his books and some pretty fascinating encounters of Bigfoot, which is kind of crazy.
Definitely some frightening ones, you know, that would make you think twice to not go in the woods unarmed.
Yeah.
Not go. Did I just double negative that?
To not go in the woods unarmed. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You'd think twice to not go. I don't know. It's late.
It's late. And we're like, no. Yeah. So we have some really good stuff coming up on the show. We had a spat there of time where every 2 weeks for several weeks in a row, then we were recording with our guests and getting that content out, and we've had a really good time, and we're still releasing every 2 weeks right now just because of our work schedules and our family responsibilities. It's really hard to put something out every single week. And so we went into the second season with the understanding that we were going to just release every 2 weeks and just kind of take it easy. I think the last time, excuse me, a little stuffy here, but our last couple episodes with Troy McLaughlin, he's from the UK, which those episodes are just mind-blowing to me. But we did release those back to back.
Yeah, one week apart. Yeah.
1 week apart. And so we have another one coming out July 7th right now that's upcoming. And then we have a few more that we've already recorded. And then we have some guests, hopefully, that we're going to be lining up here pretty soon and keep pushing some content. So, yeah, excited where the second season has gone. We've been very fortunate, very blessed with the guests that have agreed to come on the show. And you know, a lot of the listeners might not know, but we do a lot of, I would say, legwork, a lot of outreach to people that we have a lot of respect for and the topics that we are interested in. And we ask them to be guests on the show, and we schedule those out for those that agree. And, you know, we try to be diverse, and we try to have a wide net, and we try to cast some interesting light on these subjects that we're interested in, and for season two, it's been working out really well for us, and hopefully that luck continues as we round the second half of this year in 2021.
Yeah, and that's I would attribute that to something that Bill taught us. You know, that he said if you put the effort out there and you don't hear back, that's a closed door, and it's hard to take it, you know, like there's a couple of guests that I'd really love to get on, you know, David Adair, Carrie Cassidy.
Linda Moulton Howe.
Linda Moulton Howe for sure, you know. But
and she's an Idaho girl. She was born here,
right?
And lived here for quite a while. And for those in the paranormal community, Linda Moulton Howe is a big name, and it would be awesome to have her on. So
yeah. And just, it's almost like we're not in their orbit, but again, you know, if it's a closed door, and so we've got to kind of just sow our seed somewhere else and see what's going to come of it. You know, there's always networking and stuff that we could do with a few people that we do know that we've made really good relationships with. And that's one of the best payoffs of doing a podcast. In my mind is the people that we've met and how gracious people have been, and we've
maintained contact.
Really, we've had some really good contact and friends, and it's like, well, gosh, like that's really rewarding, you know. Like, yeah, I'd love to have
some of these names
more,
on, right?
A lot more listens, you know, and you know, a lot more kind of
grow the show more,
things growing more there. But it's almost selfish, you know, in a way that I get to talk to these people and ask them what's on my mind,
exactly.
And they can answer me and
pick their brain. And yeah, so we have a lot of outreach, and most of the time that we do outreach, it's a closed door. And so for the few people, that we get on our show, it's a privilege, and we're humbled and we're super grateful. And we always sing them praises for coming on and giving us their time. And a lot of these people, you know, move around our schedule in a lot of instances to get on our show and to record. And we try to maintain contact with these individuals, these guests, as much as we can, whether it's on social media. You know, we support them by buying their books and listening to their shows and consuming content that they have made. And so it's kind of a symbiotic relationship that we try to share with these other creators. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And we've been very pleased to see some positive reviews and ratings on
iTunes.
Apple on now that they've changed the name.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts. We're happy to see that kind of come to fruition there with, you know, of note. We don't really talk about it. We don't really ask for it, but, you know, organically.
Yeah.
And that's something that's going to help grow the show. So if you have time, head over there. And, you know, those that have iPhones, it's built in.
Yeah. 5-star review, or and just write a quick note. Tell us how you're liking the show. And if you have guests that you'd like to be on, you know, drop the name and we'll try to reach out and get them on. But we appreciate anyone that takes just a couple minutes just to give that, excuse me, give that 5-star review and just drop a quick message. It's nice to hear from the people that are listening and not just see you as numbers, as our show numbers are climbing and trending or whatever you want to call it. So it's nice to see that in person, not in person, but those little personal touches.
Certainly. Well, we're both kind of devolving here in our language and our ability to hold a conversation, but it's fun. We'll have to do this again, maybe even on this trip.
Yeah.
But we're super happy with where things are at and where they're headed, and just can't thank you enough for listening if you made it to this point.
Yep. Yeah, and like James said, give us a 5-star review, give us a quick note on iTunes, or shoot us a message through our email. You can email us at Lost River Legends Podcast.
It would be show
excuse me,
Lost River Legends Podcast
at lostriverlegendspodcast.com, and let us know if you have, you know, an encounter, whether it's Bigfoot or UFO or something otherworldly or something in between, or something paranormal, whatever it is, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're definitely a guest-driven show, and we haven't really had an experience. We've had a few experiences that we've shared in our show, but that's not really how our format works. But we'd love to hear from you and maybe have you on the show. But thanks for listening. It's it, we're we're truly blessed that you guys are out there listening and supporting the show.
With that, have a good night. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Lost River Legends. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and consider subscribing. Here at Lost River Legends, our primary focus is delivering unique topics, amazing guests, all paired with top-notch production value. The earth we live on has many hidden secrets, countless paranormal stories, and is filled with amazing, curious humans who are trying to find answers to life's questions. Here at Lost River Legends, we are no different. We believe an active curiosity to the unknown is ingrained in the human experience. We hope you'll join us on our journey to explore the lost legends of the Earth by listening to past and future episodes. Until then, James and I wish you health, happiness, and a curious mind. And remember, the clock of life is ticking away. Don't waste another moment and live your best life.